Hello, Simon.
Hi, I'm waiting for Mo Amali. Hold on a second.
Welcome.
Okay, just hold on a second.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Mo. You're on now.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Hi, Toby. Can you hear Mohammed?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good stuff. It means we're good to go. But there seems to be noise from Mohammed.
No, I am in the quiet room.
I can actually hear a door opening behind you.
Yes, I have just closed the Yeah.
Okay, I guess we can start.
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, great stuff. How are you guys? How's Mohammed? How are you?
I'm fine. You?
I'm nervous as fuck, as in. I have absolutely no idea why we're doing this, but it's something I've always wanted to do, so I guess let me just take it off my bucket list. But
Yeah, there's always the first time.
yeah, Toby, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine considering the circumstances we are speaking under.
Oh, okay, let's not go there, really. It's too early in the podcast to start bringing anybody down. Okay, let me give you guys a picture of where I'm sitting to show you how nervous I am. Okay, so I couldn't I wasn't sure that my sons would let me record at home without barging into the room. So I drove out. I drove about 5 minutes away to General Hospital, Bagada, right? So I'm sitting in their car park, now recording this podcast. And it just occurred to me, like right now, that I'm sitting in a hospital's car park with a notebook, my laptop bag, and my laptop with my internet connection. I look like a complete Yahoo boy, and I'm wearing shorts.
Let's hope SARS don't get into
Like if anybody, any security walks into this place now, there's no explanation why I'm not
you
using hospital internet. Okay, good start. Okay. Let's before I get caught, I guess we should just hurry up with the recording before somebody shows up here. Okay. Hi, welcome, guys. I just felt it was a good time for us to talk about where Arsenal is currently at the club. 2018 has been a very interesting year. Arsene Wenger left. We appointed Unai Emery. Just before we're settling down to Unai's appointment, Gazidis dropped the bombshell. He left after all the restructuring he was talking about. Just as we're settling down with Gazidis, Conte bought the whole club. Before we go, it's just like a really complicated year. Then there's Mesut Ozil's situation. There's the Ramsey thing that has started since the beginning of the season as well. I just thought it was a good time to have a chat as to where we were and what we think of what the club is right now. I didn't want to do it earlier in the season because I thought the frame of reference would have been too short. Like you want to analyze Unai Emery after 5 games. I honestly didn't know who he was or have enough information about him. And I wanted to give myself time to actually understand him myself, not from what other people have said he was. So I think we've gotten to a point where we can actually say we know a fair bit of who he is and a fair bit of how the structure of the club is working to have like some opinion on it. So I guess it's a good time to have that conversation. What do you guys think?
Yeah, fine, perfect. Yeah.
Toby, what do you think?
I think it's a good starting point. Although I'm sure I shared with you that I wanted to start earlier.
Yeah.
Sort of like a beginning of the season, we can talk about what we expect for the season and things like that. But it's fine. It's fine starting
Oh, okay. Wait, wait.
anytime.
I don't know if you guys listen to the Guardian podcast. I thought we used to listen to it before, but I think you don't listen to it anymore. We're buying Glenn.
I do. I did listen to over the past few months.
Okay.
I think the past
Oh,
few months.
okay. There's someone, one of you, it's obviously not me, one of you is breathing into your mic, and I can hear like.
Well, I'm using headphones, so I don't think it's me.
I bought using earphones, so maybe that's why.
So maybe it's you then, Simon.
Absolutely not me. As in, I'm like, I have the freshest air around here. Okay, let's go. Let's hope that it clears up during the pod. But I think a good place to start with, like, what the fuck happened yesterday? That's a good place to start, right?
Okay. I think it is.
No, no, I don't think it's a good place to start, because really I don't want this podcast to be like a reaction to what happened yesterday. There's a bigger frame of reference, right? Club in transition. If we react to what happened to yesterday, it's going to give us like a more emotional reaction to where we are. And I want us to take a bigger picture. So maybe a good place to start would be, Mohammed, this will go to you. What do you think of the club right now from a structural perspective? Where do you think we are? Bina is now the head of the now running the club with Raul. Sven is there. Hosfami is there. Diane Borges. And we have Unai Emery as a head coach. We no longer have a manager. Structurally, where do you think we are as a club right now? Mohammed, this is the point where you actually answer the question. Hello, hello.
Do you think he's still there?
He isn't. Okay, let's pretend this, the question is for you now, Toby. Just go on.
Okay. So, I know the club was trying to move away from the old, well, I don't know if they call it the British style of management, where you have one man who used to be Arsene Wenger, who was in charge of everything, player recruitment, scouting, training, medicals and everything.
Yeah.
Trying to move towards the more continental European style of management, where you have like almost like management by committee, where you have like a sporting director, you have someone in charge for separating for recruitment, someone separating for signing and contract stuff. Yeah. And initially, it seemed like it was going to be a good idea. And I think it was a good idea initially, because bringing Raul and Sven before Wenger left,
yeah,
kind of helped with the transition into the new manager. And the early signs were positive, you know. The signings, we're happy with some of the signings. Yeah, it seems like, oh, really, these are proper football guys.
And they happened really quickly.
Sven, they happened, yes, like straight out of the blue. And these two are proper football guys, you know, Raul, Sven, who have worked wonderfully in other parts of Europe.
Yeah.
So it looked good. But now it seems like maybe we are starting to have misgivings about maybe there are too many cooks cooking this particular broth.
Mm.
And it doesn't seem like there's a single purpose towards this club. A good example would be the Ramsey situation.
Yeah.
That, for me, is the most befuddling situation. It doesn't make sense. We had give him a contract of, let's say, rumored to be 200k per week. Yes, granted, he and his agent, the agent detailed on it for months and months. Okay, ready to sign. Once he had the club had pulled the offer, it seemed like, okay, if it was good for you at the beginning of the season, what really has changed from then to now?
Yeah.
And it seems like there are too many people. You know, it's like when you have a committee, when you put a committee to form something, you get like too many responses, too many answers, you get too many solutions, and they begin to like conflict each other. So I might be that might be what, because it doesn't seem like there's like an head. Okay, Emery is just head coach, he's not the manager. And Ved is doing something else, Raul is something else, Vina is doing something else. It just seems like these four guys are just leading the club. We don't know who is in charge. Who is the one saying, okay, who put his foot down and say, no, this is going to happen. I don't think there's anyone.
Yeah, and it's a good point you brought the Ramsey situation up, because it fits into a question I'd like to ask. But before you do that, I just need to confirm. Mohammed, are you back on? Hi, Mohammed. I think we lost him, actually. Hold on. Let me try and see how I can get him back on. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Mo.
Yes,
yeah,
I can
hear you now.
Okay, yeah. I was hearing everything. I was surprised that you couldn't hear me.
Okay, no yes. Worries. Yes. I'm just starting it's, again. So, okay.
Is Toby back on? I can see it's just you connected.
Yeah, Toby, I had to send him a new link, so he's coming back on now.
Okay, perfectly.
Okay, yes, good stuff. So Toby was speaking about the structure of the club, and he very important subject that I thought we could speak about further in the podcast. This is brought it up now, and I'll also speak about it. Ramsey, the discussion around Ramsey and how Unai Emery is reacting to, can you hear me? And
I can hear you. Yeah.
How Unai Emery is reacting to the contract situation.
Yes.
because of the structure we currently have, do you think that Unai Emery is allowing club decision, high-level club decision, to affect on the pitch decisions about who he picks to play for Arsenal? And we can see that to an extent play with Ramsey and with Ozil, where the hierarchy of the club are particularly concerned about club revenue and finances and player wages and things like that. And we want to get like Ozil off our books somewhat. And Ramsey, because of the amount he's asking for, the club has pulled the contract. So how much of an effect do you think the new club structure is having on selections by Unai Emery?
Well, I think we are just... I listened to Toby talking about the structure of the club, and he was talking about how initially we were very excited about what the new structure was going to bring, but having his doubts now. I think it's still too early for us to have these doubts, because just like you talked about doing this podcast at the start of the season and you thought against it because you wanted to do it when we had all formed an opinion on Unai Emery, which is 6 months into the season. I think it's still too early for us to look at the workings of this new structure and think that they are not doing something right already. They have not even, apart from the summer window, which was their very first one, this is going to be their first transfer window where they need to plug holes in the team. So I am not as skeptical as Toby sounded about the new structure. Talking about the Ramsey situation and why a contract was offered and it was pulled away from the table, I think that has to do with Gazzetti's leaving, because the new team that has come on board maybe has just thought against giving Ramsey that contract, because they might have other things in mind. And this is why I keep on telling people that if it sounds mad, there might be a method to the madness. We don't know what these guys have lined up. If they don't want to give Ramsey a new contract, let's see what they have coming after that. We can only judge them, you know, after they don't give Ramsey a new contract and then they let us bear. Then, yes, we can talk. But right now, I'm not ready to castigate them because, like I said, it's still too early. I will not believe, and no one can convince me that they are pulling the plug on Ramsey's contract without having a backup plan. There definitely is something going on at the back there. And talking about whether it's affecting Unai Emery's decision, you know, top-level management decisions, affecting his decisions on the pitch. I think that's a bit of... it's speculation still. We never know. I don't believe that if Emery thinks that Ramsey fits into his team, he would not play Ramsey. I don't think so at all. Because, like we said, he is a head coach, not like Wenger, who was the head coach, the manager in charge. Wenger knew, as I believe one of Wenger's main problems towards the end of his stay was that he had too much hands. He had his hands in too many things at the club. He was no longer as focused as he was in his first part when he first came on board. Towards the end, and that goes, I'm not having that, accusing it against him, because when you stay that long in the club, you become the club, you become part of the furniture of the club. And there were speculations that he interviewed Gazzetti for that job and all that. But if you have a manager that has stayed in the place for that long, definitely they're going to bring a chief executive. You want his input, and that's what might have happened. So that's why I like the fact that Emery is just a head coach. He is just in charge of what happens at Colney. And so if Ramsey fits into his game plan, I don't think whatever decisions have been taken at the top there, whether he's going to stay or not, the only time I might feel it might have a bit of an effect is because he doesn't want to invest his time on a player. He doesn't want to invest his time on a player who might be leaving soon anyway. So maybe that's why he's keeping Ramsey out of the team. But to talk about it being a decision from the top, I think that's a bit of a speculation, and I really don't like involving in speculations.
Oh, okay, I completely relate to everything that you said, and to a large extent, I agree. But where I'm asking the question around Ramsey, and I'm a big fan of Aaron Ramsey.
Are we still with Toby?
Toby's here, right?
Of course,
good. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Ramsey, and but. What I'm asking the question in particular is, when you don't pick a player, or you come into the club and then this guy is one of your captains, he's the captain of Arsenal, and Mesut Ozil is the captain of Arsenal. And Unai Emery is somebody who's very studious. We know him to be studious. He's watched videos. He's made his opinion about this person's quality. He sees them in training and then decides not to use them. And these players are coincidentally the same players that seem to have some contractual issues with the club with respect to their finances or what the club perceives them to be contributing. And that's where it raises some doubts for me. But let's move on from that subject. And hopefully, like you say, in time, clarity will give us some more perspective as to how the decisions are made. But I don't want to focus on that anymore. Let's move on to the footballing perspective of the club. Toby, this is for you. And before we even go here, I put out a tweet before we started recording where I said I'm recording this podcast with you guys. And if people could just pretend that we actually know what we're talking about and send us questions. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I was expecting no one to respond because this is a bunch of fools who think they can record stuff. But people actually sent questions that one of them aligns with the question I wanted to ask. It's from Dre Kams. He says, in your opinion, do you think there has been an improvement in the team from last season? And on my notes here, I'm like, okay, we currently sit fifth in the league. We've scored 30 goals. Oh, no, we've considered 30 goals already. We're averaging 1.5 goals conceded per game. We're scoring 2.10 per game. And we have 38 points. Last season, we had 37 points from the same number of games. So from a points perspective, we were just 1 point better. From a position perspective, from a feel perspective, there's a feeling that we're a lot better than we are last season, but the table hasn't really shown that. So what do you think of where we are from a footballing on the pitch? What do you think we are?
I think it will not be correct to even judge where we are compared to last season, because as we all know, last season was an outlier. That season was a very special case for the Arsenal. So, with everything that was going on, the terrible away form, reports of players down into the whole Alexis situation, I'm not really in favor of us putting seasons side by side and then saying, we're better. I think what is more important is what were our goals that we set to achieve this year? What were the goals set for Emery and his team? Say, okay, this is what we want to achieve this year. How far are we from achieving those goals? Does it look like we're going to achieve those goals? Does it look like we're going to get where we want to get to? I think that would be a far better judge of where we are as a team or as a club. I'm pretty sure maybe the goal was, okay, maybe get top four, maybe if possible win one cup. Are we closer to that? Or what we should be asking ourselves? Also, are we playing better? Are we from a stylistic point of view, does it look like, are we enjoying our football? That's also one thing that we could look at that and say, okay, that is fairly subjective, I know, but still, it's better than just saying, putting points by points and just looking points at the side and saying, it seems very forced to me, Sha.
I agree with you, and especially from a statistics perspective, where you're measuring two seasons, and it's not like everybody was equal. So other teams have improved.
Exactly.
Other aspects,
some teams have improved.
Some have depreciated. Some came. Exactly. So using numbers.
We play some teams at home, so it's kind of,
I agree with you on that. I follow Mohamed a lot on Twitter, and then this is also the case that he also makes. Are we closer to our goal and are we playing better? Mohamed, that's for you. Are we closer to our goal? What's our goal this season?
Yes, well, no one knows what the Emery's employers have set for him as a target for this season. But from a perspective of the average fan or from the average fan's perspective, I did not expect, and I don't think any Arsenal fan expected us to challenge for the title this season. All I have been
I'm just kidding.
You, you can dream. You can dream. Yeah, but on a serious note, all I wanted from this team was to show a bit of fight and stay within touch. Last season, by this time, I'm not a fan of statistics, but. Mm. You cannot do away with statistics. Whether you're a fan of it.
You're like Jose Mourinho then.
Oh, well.
I'm not really a fan of statistics because it could be misleading. Because when you look at it now and you say, oh, last season we were fifth at this time, last season and we're still fifth now, have we improved? But when you look at the gulf, the gap between the points tally, for example, between the top team last season, which was Man City, and Arsenal in fifth, where the point tally between Arsenal and Liverpool at the top now is a lot less, you know, than what it was. So I'm not dreaming that we're going to win the league. But if we are going to challenge for the league this season, what I'm saying in essence is that we are closer to the top right now at this time than we were last season at this time. So back to what Toby said, are we enjoying our football? Are we any better? I don't think this team has picked an identity yet. And this is where the problem is. The only thing I've enjoyed about this team is because Toby talked about players downing tools and this and that. I've seen a bit of more fight in these players than I saw last season. Like yesterday, I tweeted it after the Liverpool game. I said the team is just not good enough because it was not even a limp performance by any stretch. I saw the boys chase after balls. They ran, they struggled, they fought, but they were not just good enough. That team is not good enough, and the better side outclassed them and trashed them mercilessly. I have watched Arsenal at Stamford Bridge lose 6-0, and they were just strolling about the pitch as if it was not a football game going on. I've watched them at Anfield 5-1, you know, in 2013-14, and they were just, it was a disgrace what they were doing that day on the pitch. I didn't see that yesterday.
Okay, you really don't want to remind us of that action, though.
Pardon?
I'm saying you really don't have to bring more sadness. Yesterday was bad. You didn't do bad.
I understand, but I'm just trying to make a point about our style of play and whether we are enjoying our game or not. Nothing has really changed in the real sense. Yes, we are not playing that seductive football we used to play in Wenger's best years. But like I said, six months, it's too soon for me to go down on the man. The manager has to get more time to stamp his identity. And this is the problem.
We're going to come to the manager.
At some point.
So we can just park that discussion about him to us, because there's like the whole segment that's going to focus on him. I mean, we should just go there right now. And it fits into a question that at EJNTR, that's F Young NTR, asked on Twitter, which I also have in my notes. And it says, what improvements or regression have you noticed under Unai Emery's regime? And the first question I have in my own notes as well is, what changes have you seen at Arsenal from Unai Emery? Like, what's the specific thing? I know we've talked about fights, we're covering more distances. Is there anything specifically that you've seen that is different that Unai Emery has brought to the club?
Yeah, let me take that because it looks like it's a continuation of what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what changed? The only change I have seen is, like, well, statistics tell you that we're covering more grounds, we're covering more distance, we're topping the charts in sprints and all those things. So yes, that's one change. He is working the players a bit harder than Arsene did. And that's not a criticism of Arsene. Everybody has his own style, you see.
Yeah.
So another thing that has changed, and the notable one, is what I was talking about before you brought this question up, and that is about hunger and desire on the pitch. Yes, you can tell me that it doesn't mean anything if results don't go our way. It's not about showing passion on the pitch, but that is what fans also want to see. When we lost 5-1 in Anfield,
let me just ask you a question. I'm sorry. Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry and desirous is Mustafi?
Mustafi is, sorry to say, he's a clown. Mustafi is a clown. When I say he's a clown, and I don't mean it in a bad way. Mustafi is one of those people you cannot, no matter how serious, even if he's going to write the exam of life tomorrow, you cannot see seriousness in him. You see? So he's not... I cannot see him. I can't take him seriously, if you know what I mean. If I'm in the same dressing room with him, he will be one of those people that I can go to when I'm down in the dumps just to make me laugh, because I don't see him as a serious person. You see, so back to what I was talking about hunger and desire yesterday. Yeah. You know, like I said, it was not a limp performance by any stretch. The better side won, because the better side was just the better side, and that's all it is. So one thing I know I have noticed as a change in this team is that desire, that hunger, I'm playing for 90 minutes. Whether they are playing well or not, at least they give that all for 90 minutes. Last season, some of the performances were a disgrace. Honestly, some of the performances were a disgrace. Yeah, I've seen traits of it this season a bit, but because they're all human. But this team is a lot more focused, much more, they're fighting better than they did in Wenger's last years. So that's one change for me.
Oh, okay. Good. Thanks, Mohammed. I don't know. I'm Toby. Do you have any reaction to that? What do you think has improved? Well, something I was looking out for, like things like, are we better at taking corners? Obviously, we're no better at defending. That's
really funny thing.
Are we better at taking corners?
I saw something somewhere. So we've not considered.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't go. We've not considered from a set piece.
Are you sure?
we've considered from our own set piece.
No.
That's basic.
Wait.
But the goal against Burnley, wasn't that from a free kick that dropped and then the guy struck the ball or something?
The Barnes
goal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was from a free kick, and we didn't clear the lines. But I know where Toby's coming from. Toby is talking about a set piece in the real sense of
Set piece.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if it's better.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Despite what we hear about Arsenal's defense, we defended corners particularly very good over the past few years. Yes, we considered the fewest goals from corners in the entire league also. Apart from Chelsea, I think. You get it. So, that part has continued.
What I've noticed with corners particularly is we haven't really... We didn't switch to man-marking. We're still doing zonal, I think.
But we are doing a variant in which a couple of players will come out to the runners. So, if you notice very carefully, there's a zonal marking, but there are two or three players who still leave the zone and then come out to map those damage.
Okay.
So, this is working for us. But the thing that has impressed me about this team this season has been the tactical flexibility. It's very
that's true.
But sometimes a good thing can be too much in the sense that when you are chopping and cutting your team too much, it may get to a point where the players themselves do not know where they are meant to be. When you are playing four or five positions in one match, it can be good. It can work when you need to change, to win, when you want to do something. For it to achieve. If you look at that match, the Liverpool match, it was a deliberate tactic playing Ainsley Maitland-Niles on the right, because we know that Andy Robertson will always go forward and he's very slow going back. And it worked for us initially.
Yeah.
That's where we got the first goal from.
And he got behind him.
And he got behind him many times.
Yeah, I agree. And
because
what that feeds.
Sorry?
That feeds your comment now. Your comment feeds into a question that I have here. And it's something that I asked Mohammed on Twitter as well. Is the fact that as an Arsenal fan, for a second. Okay, so Toby, just taking the conversation from the whole formation thing, I have the mental picture of Arsenal in my head. And maybe this is where I struggle a bit with Unai and his formation changes. Mentally, I've known Arsene Wenger all my life, right? Like, all my Arsenal life, more like. And I've known Arsenal Football Club from that perspective of Arsene Wenger's vision of what the club is. And there seems to be, noise coming from someone.
I can't hear any noise.
No, I'm hearing no noise.
Oh, okay, it's clear now. Okay, so this picture of Arsenal being like one of the biggest clubs in the world is the picture I have in my head. So 60% of my brain is Arsenal, the Arsenal, one of the biggest clubs in the world, right? So I approach everything about Arsenal from that perspective. Like, okay, so now 60% of my brain is that. Then 25% of my brain is looking at the team. I'm saying, okay, so Arsenal is the biggest club in the world or one of the biggest clubs in the world. And this is the team that we currently have. And this is what I'm looking at going into a game. This is the team that we currently have. Okay, they're not really the best teams, the best of our Arsenal teams that we have seen, but this is what we have. then the remainder 15% or whatever percentage is left is, I'm looking at it from a future perspective. Is this the team that Unai wants to take going forward? Or is this a team that Unai wants to remake in his image? So when I go into a game, that's the perspective that I have going into one. And that's where I struggle with the whole, I fear that Unai is thinking of every club the same way that he thinks of like a Man City or a Liverpool. So we go to some ground.
I see your point, yeah.
Yeah, we go to some grounds and I feel like this is the Arsenal. We shouldn't be overly focused on the talents of the other team. And I might be wrong here.
Yeah, because we TV defensive midfielders against Brighton, for example.
Exactly. So you know, so that kind of thing.
Yeah, can I take this?
Wait, Mo, I know you're very passionate about this. What I'm trying to say is that we should be big enough as a club to go to some ground. 70% of ground and trust and beat them the way Arsenal knows how to beat a team. I don't see Pep Guardiola or a club, I might be wrong, going to like Southampton and modifying how he plays to because of Southampton. So that's where I struggle. So Mohammed, I know you're passionate about this bit. So maybe help
it out. Okay. Thank you, Simon. You see, I have been to a lot of games, live grounds, and go to, let's say, no disrespect, but you go to Preston North End and you hear this, the fans singing, oh, Preston were by far the best club in the world.
Yes.
So they are singing that. Do they really believe that? They don't care. They are singing that they are the best club in the world. You go to Hull City, they sing the same thing. You go to the Emirates and Arsenal fans are singing the same thing. So why I'm bringing this up is because I'm trying to to balance, you know, what you said goes on in your head. You think this is the Arsenal. We should go big because we're at Arsenal. But that is just yes on paper. We have to be realistic. And, you know, you in your last comment, you said that you see Unai Emery as being guilty of treating Brighton with the same respect he treats, let's say, Man City and all that. But I don't think that is right in the sense. I think the person that was guilty of this, you know, was Wenger. And this was one of my biggest issues with Arsene, you know, especially towards the end of his time when he did not have as much quality players as he used to have in his first term. I have seen Arsenal go gung-ho in grounds where we do not have the right, based on personnel on ground, to go gung-ho. You know, you go to the Nou Camp when we went and Messi scored that hat-trick. You've gone to the Nou Camp with players. Who did we have in our midfield that day?
No, but that's a conversation. This is the Nou Camp.
I think what Mohamed is trying to say is that right now we have the manager we have now is like the extreme opposite of what we had before.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank
you very much.
He will set up his team to play the way he wants them to play.
Thank you very much. And this is what I am saying. Yes.
Yes. So Unai is tailoring his team each match to suit your position. Every match.
Thank you very much, Toby.
It can also lead to a problem where the team might not know how to play because you keep changing and changing and changing. And every match, the different formation.
Let me come in there. Yeah. Well, the point I was trying to make was just because of what Simon was saying, you know, saying that we should go to Brighton and we should not tweak our formation or personnel because of Brighton.
You were saying that Emery is giving them the same respect he's giving.
Exactly.
Yes. And that is because he sees that Unai Emery has looked at the Brighton team, you know, studied the Brighton team, and is actually playing his game according to what he expects from Brighton. Because if he is thinking that, okay, Brighton play with two inverted wingers, I'm going to go with a 3-5-2 formation to peg the inverted wingers at home. So what Simon is saying in essence is that should not count here. When we are going to Brighton, we are the Arsenal. Let's go and trash them and leave. And I'm afraid these things don't work that way this way. Because if I was using the Nou Camp example, and you interjected Simon immediately and said, that is Nou Camp. But no, you cannot act in isolation. You cannot pick and choose when you are at the Arsenal. You can't pick and choose when you are at the Arsenal. If you want to be the Arsenal, go. It's either you go big or you go home. That is what Arsenal used to do, and that is why we got thumped in many grounds. We went to Etihad, for example. We played Napoli on the Wednesday night and arrived and came back to the UK at about maybe Thursday night or Thursday morning. Friday, we had a lunchtime kickoff on Saturday at the Etihad. And Arsenal has gone. Yes. Arsenal has gone. 6-3, that's the 6-3, yes. Arsenal has gone. You know, a more conservative coach might have gone that day is the Etihad. These are the best team in the league. My players are pretty much jet-lagged with a more conservative approach. What did Arsene do? Arsene went as Arsene Wenger, the manager of the Arsenal. You see, and these things don't always work that way. You have to be realistic and you have to be... Context is everything, Simon. And in everything you do, yes, you have to...
I agree.
Yes, right now.
I agree with you.
I had a heated argument with some friends on Twitter on this issue, and they were telling me about Southampton and telling me about Brighton.
That's the point I'm making, Mohammed. The examples you're giving.
Yes.
Nou Camp.
Yes.
And Man City.
Yes.
Those are the examples you're giving.
Yes.
But if I go to a Southampton,
Games, Simon, Southampton and Brighton, they make my job easier in explaining what I'm trying to explain now because those two games... I'm going to land. Those two games give you a very, very glaring picture as to why I'm going... why what I'm saying now is the actual reality. We went to Southampton with a depleted defense. A defense...
I agree. Southampton is sort of like an outlier.
We went there with a depleted defense. Now, we lost at Southampton. At the point we lost that game, we were chasing the winner. We wanted to win that game. We went and we're trying to win, and then we got hit on a counter-attack, and I thought Leno should have done better, but that's subject for another day now. Yes. So we lost that game trying to win it with a depleted defense. Now, we go to Brighton. After Southampton, we beat Burnley at home. And then we now go to Brighton. Brighton,
we go to Brighton, and Brighton had lost three of the last games, like back to back losses.
Yes, but if you know the Arsenal very well, when you're on a bad run of form, who better to meet than Arsenal? So forget about that. You see, so. If you are a team and you are struggling for form, just play Arsenal. We are going to give you your form back. So it's what we do anyway. But that's just another topic entirely. Now we go to Brighton. We scored a good goal, and then all of a sudden, from nowhere, from our own set piece, ball over the top, we have conceded a goal. Criminal.
Yeah.
Now we had a depleted back line. That back line was still depleted. Suspension, injuries, unfit players at the back. Do you really think that Emery, a team that considered the goal, the sort of goal we considered at Brighton that day, do you really think the manager trusts his defense well enough to go gung-ho? You can't go gung-ho with that type of backline. And Emery
I'm not even saying go gung-ho, right?
Yes.
I feel the reason why we lost the Brighton game.
No, we drew.
Why we drew the Brighton game? Mentally, it wasn't because of the defense, even as badly shaped it was. We considered one goal. Anybody can concede one goal. I think they've not kept a clean sheet in like 9 games, I think. I might be wrong, but I don't think they've kept a clean sheet in 9 games. However, we couldn't create anything to help us win that game. We couldn't. Because everybody who could have created anything had either taken out or not brought in early enough.
Yes, we are playing three defensive midfielders. I think
what's happened there, if you look at the team that finished the game against Brighton, like Arsene is an encyclopedia, and we will always be talking and making reference to him. Like he said, anytime we play such a game and we play badly and people question his team and say, why have you had so person off the pitch? And he tells you, I had X amount of internationals on the pitch. The team I had there was enough to win that game. And that's what I'm saying again. The team we had out towards the end of the Brighton game was good. They were good enough players to beat Brighton. They are better than the Brighton team.
Yes. The team was Aubameyang up front. Maitland was running from one end. Kolasinac and then Ramsey.
Yes.
Where were the goals? Good, and then Iwobi. Altogether, you can only trust Aubameyang to score a goal.
Okay.
People in front, where were they going to get a goal from?
Well, you see, this all boils down to someone told me that, why do you take Lacazette off at 1-1? And I went back to what I was saying about the whole team and the structure of our defense. Our defense, right from the start of the season, was our weakest link. And that team, that defense that is weak, is now decimated and depleted. So when he took Lacazette off, I was shocked myself. Don't think I said, oh yeah, perfect decision. No, I could not understand why we needed a goal and then taking one of our strikers off. But again, you know, taking a distance from it, I looked at it and I said, well, this man does not trust his defense at all. He is trying to be conservative. And don't forget something. Emery was mindful of the effects another loss was going to have, especially at a ground we have no right to lose. After losing at St. Mary's, he knew the Liverpool game was on the horizon. Before you knew it, that would be three games lost in four. And he did not want to lose another game. Yes, we might look at it now and say he's too conservative and blah, 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 blah. But he didn't want to lose another game. And when we were at 1-1, that day was a bad day in the office. I've not seen Arsenal this season and for a long time as bad as we were that day. So he looked at it and maybe he thought, things are not going my way today. I'd rather take this point and go. And that's
Burnley
why...
The Burnley game. Almost like 50 minutes in the Burnley game. I don't have the exact time. But I think in the Burnley game as well, for like 15 minutes, we didn't even have a shot on target. So Brighton was not really that far off from the Burnley game, but the Burnley game, we actually took the chances that we got to win in the end.
Yes.
So you would see that we're struggling creatively. And
We are struggling creatively. I agree. And I read someone's tweet just about an hour ago, and I actually retweeted it. And from all this topping of charts of sprints, I think the boys are getting a bit jaded. You see, I think they're getting a bit jaded because people are complaining that Arsenal are not playing well, we're boring this, that we're not even enjoying our game. I think I've enjoyed a lot of Arsenal games this season, especially after those first two losses. Going forward,
I enjoyed Spurs for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed Spurs, and even before Spurs, you know what? There was more zip to our game. You know, more energy, more zip. The passes were crispier and faster. But I think the boys had jaded a bit. And the guy that I was talking about, whose tweet I retweeted, he said that this happened in Klopp and Guardiola's first season. That after a year, these guys would get to know how to manage their energy levels. Because I think right now, some of them, and you cannot dissociate that from these injuries, these muscle injuries we're having, the Bellerins and all those dropping off like flies. I think they are a bit tired, you know, because this is the first time they are working as hard, you know, by area of sprints as they've never done that in their careers, most of them, you see. So okay, I think, yes.
Okay, not to belabor the point, but yes. it comes down to a question that I also asked, and I think a number of people are asking. And Toby, you might want to come in here.
Okay.
You go into a club or you go into a workplace, you have an idea of how you want to execute. You want to execute that job, right? When you get there and then the work tools are not available for you to execute that job, what do you do? Do you continue to execute the job how you know how to do it, or do you use the work tools that you currently have to make the best of what they currently can do?
Know that club managers do when they move to a club, the first thing they do is to make use of what is readily available, i.e. the players the club already owns.
Yeah.
And then over time, maybe over a couple of transfer windows, they can now tweak things to fit what they want. You get? Which is why the entire Ozil thing is strange. The Ramsey thing is strange. Because those two guys are literally the bedrock of the team.
There's 7% of our creative force.
No matter the criticism, you can level against those guys. And they deserve some of the criticism.
Yeah, did you?
Don't deny that most of our criticism comes from them. Those two have been our best players over the past 4 or 5 years.
I was reading 7 a.m. kickoff, and you might want to react to this. I was reading 7 a.m. kickoff, and he had this stat. He says key passes for Arsenal last season in comparison to this season. Key passes for the season before was 11.7.
Okay.
Has dropped to 9.6.
Okay.
Our shots, 18.6, has dropped to 12.7. Big chances created from 2.5 has dropped from 1.9 average per game. And an expected goals has dropped from 2.0 to 1.5.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile this with the fact that our most creative people are not playing?
It's surprising. I think we've been blessed with two world-class strikers. Maybe that has
Spread
over the cracks a bit. No, your strikers don't really need a boatload of chances to score.
Yeah.
And so we've been getting away with not creating enough chances. I can't remember last time we created like enough chances to win. Apart from the Fulham game or the Tottenham game, I can't remember a game which we created enough, like four or five good chances. We just somehow get a goal in the second half and just basically fall that way to a win. Part of it
is
the team is still finding its feet. And
it,
then
it comes. I hear you, Toby. I hear you, Toby. But it comes down to the question I always ask more is, I'm 100% behind Unai Emery. I'm sure a lot of people are 100% behind Unai Emery. But questioning things that you see on the pitch, we do have a right to question what we see on the pitch, right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that without him. Because the picture you get from Twitter is, if you ask any question like we were asking now, it means you're unsupportive. Manager, that is incorrect, is it?
Oh, it's totally incorrect. It's totally incorrect. But you can see where that's coming from. And it's not only in football. It's not only Arsenal. It's everywhere. Even in politics, you question anything about Mr. President today, you are anti APC or anti Buhari. You question, you praise him, you are pro. I have had people see a retweet from me or tweet about Buhari in a positive light and get unfollowed. And I just accept that's where we are today in the world. In football, you see, in football as well, when Arsene was here, it was a lot worse. And that is what we are getting now with the Ozil issue. You know, it's tedious now on Twitter. You cannot, I love Mesut Ozil, I like him. I have never pretended that I'm a massive fan of his. I have never pretended that way, but he's such a quality player. How can you not like such a player? But he has a lot of faults, a lot of faults. But when you bring out any single fault in Ozil, you see hawks coming for you on Twitter as if you are, as if you have, you have committed some blasphemy. Ozil, like in this whole situation going on now, I don't think he does himself any favors. He came out for the Brighton game, for example. Was it Brighton or was it, which game was that? He came out, Brighton game, he came off as a sub. There was a game he came on and played 20 minutes. And, you know,
Southampton.
You know, yeah. I saw nothing from him. Nothing. I know they come up with these cute stats of, oh, he created X amount of chances and all those kind of things. And that's where I tell you that I'm not a fan of statistics because it can be misleading. But now, going back to the whole, you question Emery and people now start talking about, oh, you don't support him. I know where you're coming from. And like I said, just ignore and leave above that. Make your criticisms or whatever you think you want to make as you deem fit, because that's always going to happen. So
can I button you? I think it's very wrong to say a fan cannot criticize his club manager, because that would seem as if the fan should not care about his club. You get? If a fan sees that his club is not progressing the way he would expect the club to move, it's well within his right to say, oh, I don't like what the manager is doing, or the manager should be doing better, or why are we not winning? He's the fan. That is your job as a fan, to support the club. That is part of supporting. When you say you want your team to become better, it doesn't mean that you're saying that the club should sack the coach or that the club should do it. No, you're saying that the coach should do better. Because if his coach does better, your team will do better invariably.
I agree. I like. I agree completely with you. Just to close on the topic, I think it's underscore Ayobola. That's Ayobola asks the question here.
Yes.
Do you guys think Emery's job is safe for this season? And do you think you have to give him time to build something, or there's a low that we can get to, which means he's going to lose his job permanently? I think we can just give him a quick answer here. But from my perspective, I think he's the safest manager in the Premier League right now.
Yeah, we're not the kind of club that would just sack at the top of your ass. I'm not Chelsea or Man U. I think it's not safe for now.
And even if we were a Chelsea or a Man U, is there any justification to sack someone that is 7 points from second and 2, 3? Right. How many points now with Chelsea winning today? I think 5 points off top four in December.
Yeah.
There is no justification whatsoever sacking. We didn't just come at the back of winning the Champions League and the league,
exactly.
Doing
the
double. So you're so. This is why I say context is everything. Where did he meet us? Are we now? Arsenal's last season was poor. You can't mask that. But it was always going to be tough for anyone in the world to walk into the shoes of such a legendary manager. We're talking of 22 years.
Exactly.
22 years. It's a culture change. It's a culture shock. And now going back to this Ozil issue again, because it is the elephant in the room right now in the club. Going to the Ozil issue again, we cannot. This is why, you know, I expected this to happen, because you can say pandering to him or whatever, but Wenger was like a granddad. And this is why some problems I had with Arsene in his time was he let players get away with a lot of things too often. He was like a granddad to these players. There were no repercussions for actions, almost.
Yes.
Now, Ozil...
Go on.
Yeah. Now, Ozil, with the Ozil situation, you see, Emery has come, maybe a bit of brute force. It's a shock to Ozil. And he is not stomaching it. He's not... People are saying that he has not handled the Ozil situation well. I know it's one of the topics on your agenda, so maybe I shouldn't talk about it now till we get till.
It's actually the next topic on the agenda.
Okay, fine. So I know people say Emery has not handled the situation well, and they said, but what situation are we talking about here? This whole thing, I think, is a storm in a teacup, as far as I'm concerned. It's a storm in a teacup. The media and the fans are like, yeah, it is a storm in a teacup.
We have a $350,000 a week player.
Yes.
We have one of the best creative midfielders in the world at the club. Yes. That's a given. Irrespective of whatever anybody thinks of Mesut Ozil, he's one of the best players in the world.
You can't take that away from him.
And I agree with you on Wenger managing him. There was an interview, Ramsey, just quick questions where people ask somebody asked Ramsey, like, who's the daddy's pet or something like that.
Yes.
And Ramsey said, of course, it was Mesut Ozil. That Mesut Ozil was always in Arsene Wenger's office.
Yes.
Obviously, Wenger kept Ozil close to him.
Yes.
And maybe that was the kind of management style that he needed to get the best out of Mesut Ozil.
Oh, yeah. No two ways about that. You cannot...
A manager who has come in now and has a completely different approach to how to handle that kind of a player. Fair point. And he has every right to do so.
Yes.
Where I struggle is... And I have... There was two questions I have here. Like, maybe we'll just go to how I bring it. From Arsenal's perspective as a football club, do you think we're handling the Mesut Ozil situation right? And I come from this perspective where we just gave this guy a contract in January because we didn't want to lose him and Sanchez at the same time.
Yes,
he's the best player in the club. He has the highest Instagram following. He's bigger on social media than the club. There's marketing decisions to be made. He is a good player, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he's having issues with the manager clearly now. Whatever anybody thinks, I think the issues that he has with the manager. And these injuries and the way they manage information around him, I have a problem with that. And I tweeted that nearly after the when David Ornstein tweeted before the game against Liverpool. When Mesut Ozil is going to be injured, Arsenal as a football club has to do more to make sure that information comes from them. Arsenal and David Ornstein reacted to that conversation after the Daily Mail posted the picture saying that he wasn't coming down from the bus, or they didn't say come down from the bus.
Yeah.
It meant that the narrative had changed. The same thing happened when he had the back injury.
Yeah.
Nobody knew Mesut Ozil wasn't going to play until we saw the lineup. And then it creates a conversation where this guy clearly has a problem with the club, with the club, and then with Unai Emery.
Yeah. It's a different thing. Yeah.
When he has an opportunity to defend him, he says tactical reasons, we're changing an approach. He was the one who got subbed at Brighton for reasons that those kind of things. Do you think we as a club are handling the situation perfectly?
Well, correctly? Okay, yeah, thank you. When I say it's a storm in the teacup, I just think that we're being a bit hyperbolic, and it all boils down to the love, and the love for Mesut Ozil on the one side, and the love for the media to go after Mesut Ozil on the other side. So we have an Emery who is stuck in the middle of these two divides. Now, he has been playing Mesut Ozil all season. This problem started at Bournemouth when he kept him on the bench, and they asked him
at the start of the season. Remember, Mesut Ozil was actually playing on the right.
Yes, yes.
So even if people are accusing him, there's an accusation that he, even when he gets played, he doesn't perform to his best of his ability. But for at least the first five or six games, if I remember correctly, he was down the right. So he wasn't in his best position to deliver.
Now, yes. Anyway, let's go back to the Brighton game. Mesut Ozil is on the bench. Okay. Emery is asked, why has Mesut Ozil not been picked? He said, it's a tactical decision. And it all went down from there. And I don't see why it's a big deal that Mesut Ozil is benched at Bournemouth. And the coach has said it's a tactical decision. And I understand it's tactical decision or whatever he said perfectly. I've seen Mesut Ozil go away from us, from the Emirates, on difficult and tough away grounds and wilt away a lot of times. And then what happens? The media, they clamp down on him. And the first thing I saw was, well, we have a manager now who wants to protect him from those games. I mean, when we're playing at home or playing Man City, for example, who are going to play football the right way, whether the Emirates or Etihad, yes, you can have your Mesut Ozil. But the likes of Bolton, the likes of Bournemouth, who are going to, even yesterday's game, I heard some people talking about Mesut Ozil. The way and energy, the intensity with which Liverpool were playing yesterday, you think Mesut Ozil was going to do anything yesterday
I actually think he would have.
No way. You know something? I was discussing Ozil with a friend yesterday on Twitter, one of the biggest Ozil fans I interact with on Twitter. But she's pretty reasonable. So, and I told her, I said, I don't think we have ever, ever built a team for Mesut Ozil. This is the reality. We have not. Ozil is referred to in some part as a luxury player. And that's not to insult him. But he is a luxury player in the sense that you need to take away, absorb this guy of every sort of responsibility, defensive, blah, blah, blah. Just leave him there. Let him float about like a butterfly. He's going to create those chances for you. But I don't think Arsenal, as we were when Wenger bought him, as we are today, we still are not built for Mesut Ozil. That is the reality. Because if you see today, we play with Ozil. Now, if you go with a midfield three and you play Xhaka, Torreira and Ozil in front of them, that is too open a midfield. It's too... Xhaka, Granit is a very lazy tackler. He is a lazy tackler, and that's why he struggled when he was supposed to be... When Wenger was playing him as a defensive midfielder out and out. He doesn't want to tackle. It's not his game. And when he does half-heartedly. Now, the only tackler we have there is Torreira. If you're going to play Xhaka and Torreira and Ozil there, you are going to fall short in midfield because that midfield is going to be too open. Number two, that midfield is not press resistant. And that is the main problem we're having today. Okay, yeah, look at the game against Liverpool yesterday. Liverpool were charging at us and they were, you know, pressing us. If you had a Santi Cazorla in that team yesterday in midfield, sat beside Torreira and not Xhaka, what Santi will give you is when you charge at him, he will beat one, two, three players all in a spin. By the time you want to charge at Santi next time, you think twice. You think twice before, and that is how you now gain possession and gain control of the game. But yesterday, anytime they charged at us, we give the ball away like hot potato. We give
there, and that was happening. So there are structural problems with the club, with the players that we currently have now.
Yes.
That they have to address long term.
The manager has to address them long term, and I think That, and that's why if there's any truth to the Banega rumors, I think that is a very good move for Mesut Ozil, you know. People don't realize, but I think he needs someone besides Torreira who is press resistant. Because if you look at Ozil, his best time at Arsenal was when Santi Cazorla was playing as a deep line midfielder and playmaker. Because all Ozil did then, Ozil was no longer in charge of the creativity of the team in the real sense of creativity or possession. Ozil was playing right behind the main striker and beside Alexis. And that's why Ozil scored the highest amount of goals in Arsenal in that season, when Santi Cazorla and Coughlin were behind him. Because Coughlin was just like the hunter. Santi Cazorla was the one dictating play in midfield. So it took a lot of creative responsibility off Ozil. And it goes way back. If you remember Cesc Fabregas as well. When Fabregas, the 2007-08 season, and this is why a lot of people don't rate Alex Klebb, and he's one of my favorite Arsenal players of all time. Alex Klebb was the guy who took responsibility creatively off Cesc. And that is why Cesc scored a lot of goals that season. Because Cesc was the number 10, so to say, and people always went after him. But what Klebb gives you, Klebb can take out 3-4 players all in one dribble. And then before you know it, you see Cesc in acres of space. And that's what Santi was doing for Ozil. So right now, I think this Ozil issue with blah, blah, it's going to be resolved. Ozil is going nowhere. He's going to feature under Emery. I think the issue will be resolved. But it has to be resolved. But Emery has to build a team for Mesut Ozil. That is the truth of the matter. He has to build a team that is going to accommodate Mesut Ozil because there's nothing he can do about it anymore. Ozil is on 350 grand a week. No club is giving him 350 grand a week. So he's going nowhere. And we cannot, as a football club, afford to keep Mesut Ozil on the bench when we are paying him that amount of money. So Emery has to do something, and he has to do it fast, even if that's not what he wants to do, because maybe his style of play does not really necessarily accommodate Mesut Ozil. Maybe he likes grafters. And who are we to say, no, you must play Mesut Ozil? But like you said, you come into a new job, you have the tools on ground, there's nothing you can do. You can do away with some, but there are some that are stuck on your neck. I'm afraid Ozil is stuck on ours. He's 30. He's no longer 25, where another club could come and take a hit. And he's not going to go. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere, because I don't think. And that's why he played his hand and got a massive contract, because that's his last major contract.
So I think we've done enough of the Ozil conversation. So yeah. In conclusion, all you're saying is Ozil isn't going anywhere. I think there's a chance that he might leave, or the club has to either, and it might come down to a revenue decision, same way we're making one with Ramsey, to take him off the bill. So, because, and obviously, I don't think Unai Emery has any intentions to build a team around Ozil, and that's fair. He has every right to have that opinion, and that's on him. My only conversation around this topic is, the team is currently struggling to be creative, and we have creative people on the bench, and we're not using them to the best of their abilities. That's where I struggle. But
go on.
So we can just. I think we've covered that subject a bit, and just to close. We're going into a window, January window, where we have to make a decision around Aaron Ramsey, and that we've been talking about Ramsey for the whole season on Twitter, and I don't think there's anything more anybody can say about that. Sell or keep? Just quickly, what do you do? If an opportunity comes to sell him, what do? Sell him or keep him? For sell. The next 6 months. Sell. So it'll be sell or keep.
Sell. We should do that for Oxlade Chamberlain and sell him for as much as you can get.
Oh, okay. I see. So the window, where do you think our priorities lie in the window? I'm trying to look for a question someone asked here. It says, 1 second, if I can find it. Do you guys think? No. It's from PHA Thai, as Fatai, I think. Mm-hmm. He's asking, where do you think our priorities should lie? No, yeah, I found it. What position is most important for Arsenal to recruit in January? Consider Koscielny will be available going into the new year, and Mavropanos just returned for training. So, what position do you think is should the January transfer window focus on?
Well, that's a leading question. He already thinks that we need a defender. But he's also telling us that we should be mindful of the fact that these two are returning and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I still think we need a defender. I think we need, if we want to, because the advantage we have over teams like Spurs and Chelsea, other teams that are going for the top four slot, is that we have two bites. We have the league route and we have the Europa Cup route. So we cannot afford, we can't afford to just throw this season away and say, oh no, we'll build in the summer. We have two massive opportunities. So when we're recruiting, we have to be recruiting because we are in the Europa League and we think we can win it. Genuinely, we can. So I think we need another defender. We need another midfielder. The Banega thing has come in. The issue is there. I don't know how true it is, but if we can get someone in that mold, fine. And then we need a winger. And I know I'm going to throw out a name here and people are going to laugh at me and all those things for the winger. I think we can go for someone like Gerard Deulofeu. Honestly. What? Yes.
No. Yes. I do not think he's good enough.
This is the problem. Honestly, this is the problem.
Wait. I was holding my breath and I thought you were going to say
No. Honestly, Gerard Deulofeu, apart from his injury problem, I don't know how bad his injury problems are. Yeah, but this is bad. The problem again. This is, well, if his injury problems are bad, then fair enough. But honestly, watching that guy,
he has injured on and off for the past 3 or 4 years. So if an injury prone winger, is your guy to call.
Yeah, well, but if we're talking of ability, honestly, this is the problem we have. Sometimes we just scowl at names when they are called. But when they go to other places, and I remember James Milner, he was rumored to be coming to Arsenal some years ago when he was going to leave City, and people were now, James Milner, what are you doing? Look at him at Liverpool. Imagine if we had a Milner today in that Arsenal dressing room. Imagine if we had a Milner. He could play in the midfield.
Would, no. He would confidently play right back.
The only place I've not seen Milner play is attack. He has played everywhere on the pitch, right from his Aston Villa days. You see, like you say, Deulofeu, yes, maybe his injury problems, but we are crying out for an out and out winger who is going to maintain with.
Yeah.
Honestly, we need one, and we need one for this because the guys that are playing there right now are not doing the business. Iwobi is not a natural winger. He does well, but I don't think that's where he's going to end up going forward. He's going to end up centrally. Mkhitaryan, another central player. So it's still what Wenger could do for you. If Wenger could play 11 midfielders, he will play 11 midfielders. And I'm not even talking of wide midfielders. Central midfielders. So this is the problem we're still having. We're playing out our central midfielders, our attacking midfielders, playing them out wide. We need to go and get an out-and-out winger. And I looked around and, that may be a good job. I'm not a scout. But honestly, Deulofeu or someone in his mold fits the bill.
Okay. I think we can... The question now is not just identifying someone. It's identifying the talent that can actually improve us now and we can afford. So, Toby... Do you think Stan completely owns the club now? How much backing do you think he's going to give Unai Emery in January? Or are we relying on Sven to find something?
Add anything extra.
Change.
To what Emery was already going to get. You understand? His own model of running a club relies on the club being self-sustaining. So... The club's really going to spend.
I think at Emery's interview, they just told him, never complain about the owner, never expect anything from the owner, never speak to the owner. That's what they must have told him.
I think.
I could be wrong, but I don't think he has been in London this year. He was even interviewed in the US. You get?
I think he came for one of those Wenger.
I think Emery is going to be backed in the window, even if it's not massive this winter. He'll get the backing in the summer, and nobody should be deluded enough to think that we're going to go and shell out £100 million, how Liverpool Koulibaly. Nobody should talking about Koulibaly.
But that is the quality.
Well, now, wait, Simon. Talking about Koulibaly, I can guarantee you, 80% of Arsenal fans of Twitter on Twitter, they have not watched that guy, 90 minutes of that guy, in maybe more than two games. All of a sudden, he is the Messiah, and this is where, maybe because I'm a bit of an old school fan, this is where I do not, honestly, I don't fall into this trap, because they are talking about Koulibaly. It's just, is it because the Napoli has put 70 million on him? Is that why they think he's good enough? You have not watched someone, you're telling me. A good friend of mine was talking about Fornals the other day when the Eva Banega story broke out. He said, oh, it's Fornals we should have gone for. And I asked him genuinely, I said, how many games of Fornals have you watched? And he laughed and he said he hasn't watched any. And I said, go, don't follow the bandwagon. We're talking about Koulibaly and all that. We don't know how good this guy is, for God's sake. So now, yes.
I don't know how good Koulibaly is, but we know how bad
Mustafi is. I know how good Koulibaly is. I've watched him for like 23 years.
We know how bad Mustafi is.
Oh, yeah, well.
No, let me just say it. I'm a Koulibaly fan. I've watched him for like 23 years.
Oh, yeah, no. Toby, don't get me wrong.
Koulibaly is the real deal.
Toby, don't get me wrong.
Right now.
Toby, don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying he's not good. You see, but like you have said, you have watched him 2-3 years. Fair enough. I can listen to your assessment of him. Not others who have never watched him and come and tell us that he's the next big thing. Now going back to Now going back to what the team, whether they're going to back Emery in the summer window or in the winter window, I think they will. But nobody should be thinking of these humongous transfer fees. I think what we should be looking at, and this is what we started this podcast with, your question, Simon, saying the structural setup and blah blah blah. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Now is the time we're going to see how effective that structural setup is. Any assessment of that setup right now is preposterous. It's not, it's premature. So now is the time. And so far, so good. I am very, very optimistic because of the signings they made in the summer, signings within our budget, that you can call astute. How much do you think Torreira is going to go for now if we're going to tell him in the summer? How much? We cannot afford Torreira anymore. We can't afford him. Yeah. If he were not our player today, he would have been
can't
out
even
of
afford Guendouzi.
No, honestly, if he were not our player today, Torreira were not our player today, he would have been out of our cash league. Definitely. You see, so when I looked at the signings they made in the summer, Socrates, even Ben Leno and Guendouzi, Guendouzi is a kid, you know, he has years to develop. Yes. But like Toby has just rightly said, we can't even afford him because the money they would have put on the 19-year-old, Arsenal would have considered it as too much.
No?
So would have walked away.
Yes.
So when you consider these signings, there's every reason to be optimistic. So I am more than optimistic that even if we don't do the business in this winter window, and that's why people are raising their noses over Gary Cahill. And I said, listen, I am not a massive Gary Cahill fan, but I'd rather have him than having Xhaka playing the defense. And if it's going to be a loan deal, why not? Why not? He's not even going to be a regular anyway if Mustafi and Socrates are available. He's not going to be a regular. So why not, if it's a loan deal to the end of the season, fair enough. If it's going to mean we're going to go big in the summer to get an astute centre-back in the summer. But honestly, I have no fears at all. They are going to back Emery. But some people consider backing a manager as giving him a blank check. Don't live in cuckoo land. It's not happening. Not at Arsenal. But they are going to back him within our budget and limit. And we're going to get the good players to plug the holes.
If my optimism was 5 over 10 before, say, recording this podcast, I think it's up to like 10 and a half.
No, Mohamed is always
optimistic
now, so...
That's
come out of cuckoo land.
Okay, just to close, I think we've been in this for a while and I need to let you guys go. Really appreciate the fact that you're here. But there's a question that Hot Red asked.
How could you be a pod without answering her question anyway? She would have deleted us off Twitter.
Telling me, like, there are very few people you want to be on the wrong side of on Twitter. So she asked them, do you think a Champions League qualification, top four or Europa, is possible for this Arsenal team? And if yes, what signings can get us over the line? I think we've addressed the part where you were about the signings. But Toby, do you think we can get into the Champions League next year?
And
from other routes?
To the league.
Which is
more likely? I think the league is more likely.
Which is more likely?
To the league, because there are still some difficult teams in the Europa. And I'll say why the league, because you may not look at it this way, but there are some not so good teams or who are among the top six, top eight, not all of them are very good teams. Apart from Liverpool and Man City. Many of the rest of those teams can have their off days. We saw what happened to Spurs yesterday. Chelsea lost away. Leicester. So there are quite a few Jekyll and Hyde teams that you don't really know. So I think if we can take the next 19 games very seriously, and with a couple of two or three signings, maybe just one signing in the in the winter window, I think this team can still snatch fourth, or even, maybe even third.
Third. Wow.
Yeah. Well, answering that, I think the only two teams that we cannot catch up with are Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah.
Those are the only two. Yes, those are the only two we can catch up with. Spurs, Chelsea, and well, don't discount Man United yet. They are right behind us. And so with these teams, with Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Spurs, those four is anybody's game there. But I think we can make it. I am not very confident about the top four slot through the league. I think we are going to make the Champions League through the Europa League. I just don't know why. Maybe I'm just being an optimist. But with the manager we have, who has won it three times, I am leaning more towards a Europa League victory than a top four finish.
Okay. I think this is a good place to close. And I really, really do hope that we get back in the Champions League. I think it's extremely important that we get back into that competition. Honestly, one more year of watching
is that the only thing, or having to watch on Star Times and all that rubbish? It's is draining.
I honestly, I'm driving home from work and I'm like, is Volska worth it? Really? Why am I rushing? I can't wait back to get to Champions League night, and I think it's really important that we get that competition to attract the kind of players that we want.
Signing players of that level,
and the money it attracts, not just the money you get for being in the competition, but even from the grounds. You're playing Volska at home; the stadium is half empty. That's money wasted. It's important. Yeah, it's extremely important that we get back into the Champions League. And that's why the pressure is. I know everybody says give in my every time, but there's a quick fix that we need here. And that's why we went for him and not Arteta. Yep. Because we needed someone who had experience of getting us back into that competition as quickly as possible. So I have a question a gift to give away. I'm going to drop a picture for anybody who is listening to the pod. If I can get 10 people to listen to this podcast, I think we've done a great job. But it was just good. Even if nobody listens, just talking to you guys has been a very good experience. And I hope that something good comes out of this. But I'm going to drop a picture immediately after we finish recording the pod on Twitter. If you're listening and you get to this point in the pod, look for that picture and tell me which Arsenal player that is. If you get the first person who gets that gets 10,000 naira. And I am trusting Mohammed and Toby. Not
I'll get my wife to do it now.
What I should have done actually was not say this during the recording. I should have just let you guys go.
No problem. At the end. You can trust us.
It's part of the but anybody who gets that answer, I guess it's 10,000. Okay, so thank you guys for coming. I absolutely enjoyed every minute.
Yes. Really.
So I guess this is the way to sign out, right? If you're Mohammed on Twitter at Mo Amali, that's Dr. Mohamed Amali, one of the most opinionated people you will find on Twitter. And that's why I was good to have you here. Like, you completely dominated.
Thank you, Simon.
To have you. Toby Amo is one of the very few people that you find with their names exactly the way it is. Like, Toby Amo.
It's a pleasure, Toby.
At Toby Amo. I particularly like Toby Amo, and I told him a few times, he and what's her name? And Amy. Amy,
okay,
that's...
Yeah. I better pass my name.
I think they're the most natural Twitters, like natural people who use Twitter as naturally as possible. No hunting for retweets, just plain emotion, just the way what you're thinking is what you see on Twitter. So very well waterfall. If you think I'm waterfall, my hand is kind of interesting.
All right.
So thank you. If you listen to the podcast at this point, I honestly want to say thank you, and I really appreciate the fact that you stayed with us till the end. We hope we can do this again at the end of January. Let's not push the buttons and do it every week, but maybe at the end of January we can have a discussion again.
No problem.
That'll be a good time.
All right. It's a pleasure.
Cheers, guys. Yeah, man. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers, Toby. Yeah. Bye, Simon.
Bye.
Bye, Simon. Bye, Mohamed.
Bye.